Welcome to Pipeline Meeting, where marketers come to talk about sales. Whether you're the head of marketing or a founder who's supporting your first sales hire, we'll talk about qualifying your inbound leads and finding new ones with cold outreach. Learn more at introcrm.com/podcast.
We do a webinar, try to do it monthly every once in a while. We go couple months with that one just because of how busy the industry is in certain times of the month. It's called Beyond Maintenance. It's our thought leadership.
So your customers are property managers?
Mostly single family property management companies are our customers all over North America or the United States and Canada. And they're trying to solve what is the ever headache of property maintenance. It impacts their operational and financial growth opportunities for their company. Our system streamlines that, and we go very much thought leadership. We're selling, or not selling a software, we're selling a solution.
So they're busy.
Yeah, they are very busy people.
How do you get them to show up for a webinar?
It's all about value and meeting them where they're at. That's why there's some months where we're just like, you know what? We know that you're going to be drowning in your day-to-day jobs. That month we may kick out just like an email or a blog post or something to that. It's all about connecting other professionals with other professionals who've already solved the problem or in the process of solving the problems. It's definitely not a sales opportunity at all. We very rarely speak property meld in the process. If it comes up organically, that's always a win. But it's about like the specific pain points, symptoms, and solutions.
Do you see inbound coming from that directly, or people are mentioning the webinar, or it looks like you're using HubSpot from the chat widget on your site? Do you see that someone attends it and then X number of months later, you know, the whole flywheel thing that they get the newsletter and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, by the way, I have a question.
A lot of the attendees are already customers.
Oh, interesting. So
where we see the growth in inbound is conversations afterwards. So being very specific on the topics that we are picking, and that, you know, they are having a conversation with another property manager who may not be a customer already. And they're like, oh, wow, that's makes sense. We also have a thought leader subscription for a twice a month email that's going out with similar topics. We'll see an increase in subscribers to that. And then from there, like you said, it's the flywheel a couple of months down the road. They'll inbound, they'll connect with a business development representative just to kind of pre-qualify them. We see that increase, but it's not direct right away. A lot of my team members on my marketing team have zero B2B SaaS experience when they come in the door. That's always a hard thing for them to learn. Oh, this isn't direct. We're not going to get this instantaneously. Realizing the customer journey is a little bit longer than what they're used to.
Can you share any examples of a campaign or an off-the-wall idea where you were like, eh, let's give it a go, and then it kind of took off? Or maybe positioning or copywriting or sort of anything like that that you're allowed to share?
I think your copywriting's the big one. There's a lot of like just sell, 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 and coming in being more of a storyteller with it. Our current marketing coordinator, she came from the tourism industry. Was one of her big clients. It was all about telling a story, and she's really brought that into her writing, guiding the prospect through the process of pain realization through storytelling. The one part about it that's the most challenging is we don't have any direct competitors. There's not a single solution that's out there doing the exact same thing we are. So obviously, anytime you're marketing, if you have competitors, that makes your life a lot easier in that aspect, in a portion of that, because you're piggybacking off of a lot of things that other people have already tried. We don't have that. The biggest thing we learned is we can't go feature to feature. That's not a winning strategy, but focusing on outcomes. And to get to the outcomes, you have to start at the pain, find the symptoms of that pain and quantify them.
Your pricing also is really interesting to me, just from you have on your site, which is charging per unit per month. And it seems like a pretty affordable price per unit per month. How is that received? I'm curious how that plays into your sales cycle and your process.
Early 2021, I believe we finally put our pricing on our website, and it was a really big move. We were like, do we do it? And we had just done a price increase. We raised the price per unit 60 cents. We put it out there. We watched it significantly. We checked the bounce rate daily to see if we saw any significant loss of engagement just by putting that on there. We didn't, which was good. We do have cases where people are like, yeah, it's a second thought. We've been able to quantify the pain so strongly at the very beginning of the conversation. Once it wraps up and comes back to pricing, it's like, okay, now I can say, yes, this is $1.60 a unit, but I'm losing this much through efficiency, negative reviews, loss of owner retention. So quantifying, it's the number one. If you can quantify your pain, you should never have an issue with pricing. We also have a mindset too, that if you're not having, you know, a loss of sales due to pricing at a certain percentage, then we're priced too low.
Mm-hmm. Makes a ton of sense to me. And I think that's really solid insight about pricing and being able to quantify the pain.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Going back to that, we have pain scorecards, urgency creation, and systemize the entire process. And how does the pain create the urgency to probability of something closing? For marketing, just in 2022, when I started at Property Meld, it was all just inbound. You're just focused on inbound lead generation, and that's what the entire department's doing. Now we're really working hard to facilitate the entire customer journey, even for the outbound. An inbound lead is much more educated when they come through the sales cycle as somebody who's just been cold called. How can we bring them up to speed with that education to help the probability of them closing just by knowing more about the solution and pre-quantifying the pain before they get to the demo? And then following that up to post-sales and transitioning, we do a 90-day trial. This is not a free trial. You're paying the whole time, but your annual agreement doesn't start until you get through the first 90 days to really understand and see how Property Meld's going to work for you. And then customer retention. And we're, for the first time, really jumping into product-led growth as well.
First, you said that you're quantifying pain. Are you using a methodology for that, like BANT or MEDIC, or do you just have a scorecard of these are the X number of questions that we work through?
Yep. We've created a scorecard, 3-point scorecard. We've developed that ourselves through just being here since 2017 and understanding our CEO is super hands-on with our sales process, which is just kind of an ode to the size that we are. But that's been great because he has the historical experience and the industry knowledge that we need to create this scorecard.
Yeah. So your reps are filling that out. Is that a field you have in HubSpot probably? So you can see how many contacts do I have that are 1, 2, 3, or 0?
Yep.
When they're on calls, that's where they're filling that in, right? So from a marketing perspective, you have visibility into what's happening in real time. They're not doing some Google Sheet or some sticky note or whatever. You're like, hey, it's got to be in the CRM so that I know, you know, Madison, I know what's going on.
Yep. And then we have that report that we can watch, and that helps us with our forecasting for sure.
And you mentioned that outbound is part of the mix now. Initially, it was all inbound. Who owns the outbound motion?
We have a manager of business development, and he manages that team, the execution of that team. The messaging is still highly owned by marketing. I have a hard time letting things go, so I'm very, very hands-on with that. We're an in-office team, which is really abnormal for B2B SaaS.
You're running the outbound motion. You're kind of cross-training the team so everyone knows what's going on during the sales cycle. You're tracking the pain. You've got these new customers in. They've got this 90-day sort of ramp or onboarding period. And marketing has ownership of that customer lifecycle. So during that ramp, are they still in HubSpot? Is that activity still living in HubSpot? Okay, so you're not moving to another project management tool.
Nope, we tried that. And we brought everything in, God, about a year ago, I think, everything into HubSpot. And that has just made, I don't know, it's made marketing's life a lot easier. HubSpot's such a robust and amazing tool. We really like it like that because we have to keep that excitement about change real and an understanding of the problem that we're solving and the symptoms of that problem, like the beginning, because when you're onboarding anything that's going to be an operational change for your company, you're going to have new pain points that arise throughout that. So marketing's messaging is to make sure that they keep hyper-focused on the initial pain that's solved, why they bought, and that in separating out these new hurdles from the process. So those can be addressed separately, but still, this is why you bought in the first place and keeping that excitement real. And this is something that we've just started within the last 6 months, really getting involved in regular meetings with the customer success manager and team. We've even systemized that down, and we look at everything from inbound all the way through the 90 day in 2 week increments, 14 days. It's the responsibility of making sure we're getting them scheduled within the first 7 to 14 days. My preference is always 7, but bandwidth is hard sometimes for scheduling. We're looking at 14 days to close, and then we look at 14 days to invite residents. That's a leading indicator of success through the 90-day trial. If they're dragging their feet and they've been there for 21 days and they still haven't invited their residents, that's a leading indicator that you're going to have problems down the road.
Seems like you've reinvented your job like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And that you're adding new competencies into the team, and then taking something that you were new at and then ingraining it as being done pretty well.
I always laugh that around 2.5 years, I always start looking for a new job because I've built the systems that, you know, I'm a very systematic person. I'll come in the first year at a job is amazing because I'm building all these systems. And then the second year is optimizing them. After that second year, it's like, okay, there's nothing else to do here. This has been done. And what's awesome about Property Meld has not just the company changing and growing at such a rapid pace, but also the industry changing. When I walked in the doors, our decision makers, ideal customer profile, didn't have a lot of tech savviness behind them. They weren't really open to change and understanding like the importance of building a tech stack. And now we've seen that transition to, and I think we've been like to an extent a driver in that, but you're also seeing a lot of millennials are starting to become property management broker owners of companies. They're the instant gratification generation, as we know, because we are that. And it's like, we have a solution that will help them build that. As the company's changing, the industry's changing, it's constantly optimizing the strategy and the systems built to execute the strategy. That's my happy place. I mean, I have dreams about building strategies, and I'm talking to our CEO and I was like, this probably isn't super healthy, but it's the way my brain works. But it's fun, and it's problem solving. I love the constant challenge that is, you know, building and optimizing and tearing down. There's been a lot that we've thought this is great, but testing's super important. And building around a fail culture, which I think is really awesome, that, you know, it's okay to fail. It's actually encouraged in a lot of instances. Just don't fail the same way twice. And, you know, that's what making sure that the team that I'm building is comfortable in that space, because a lot of people aren't, or it takes some time to figure that out.
Well, clearly you're taking chances and trying new things, because all the stuff that your team is doing versus when you started, it's awesome. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about or brag about that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Being open to trying new technologies. We just implemented Chili Piper for lead concierge this year. And the solution itself was amazing, but the process of doing it gave us so much insight into what our own customers go through to implement something that's like changes in operation that could be decades long. Operations. Stepping through that was really exciting for us to learn and take note on how we could execute it. And plus, it's been a great product for us so far. So I think just being open to those changes and staying abreast of what's out there, because it doesn't just only help your execution. I think it helps you keep an idea of like the process of that we do every day.
What do you think is the hardest part about that?
I think timing is a huge one. And then the fear of if it doesn't work. And that comes into fact of I had to influence a lot of different stakeholders in the company to actually move this through, and actually influence even farther where there was a couple stakeholders who were ready to pull the plug on it. And I had to continue to influence. It's not being afraid that you put all this work into influencing and what if it doesn't work? We have to continue to produce and move in this direction to hit these goals. And how are we going to fit this in? We know it's going to save us time in the long run and increase efficiency, but how are we going to implement? That's a huge thing that SaaS companies need to realize, is how important that implementation process is.
Where can people learn more about what you do? Where can people find you online?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the best way. I don't mind giving out my email. It's madison@propertymeld.com. I'd love to connect. And I love this idea for the podcast. So thanks for having me. This is really cool.
That's all for now. You can find show notes at introcrm.com/podcast. The theme music for Pipeline Meeting is by Neighborhood Vandal, and it's shared under a Creative Commons Attribution or CC BY license. If you learned something, consider sharing this show with a friend. Thanks.